astrologer DK Brainerd, and you're listening to the Stars for the People Astrology Podcast here on EmpowerRadio.com, empowering you. In today's show, I want to talk about the Aries new moon that's happening on Wednesday morning, April 14th, 2010. And we may get into a little bit of a preview of the Mercury retrograde that begins at the end of the week, although we'll cover that in more detail in next week's show. So this week I want to talk about the Aries new moon and just give a little bit of a sort of astrological weather forecast for this week. And I want to start out by telling you that I'm very angry tonight. And, you know, how does this tie into the Aries new moon? Well, Aries is about identity. And Mars, the ruling planet of Aries, is the archetype that symbolizes anger, assertiveness, aggression, our warrior sort of ability. I often say in my classes that if we're going, you know, talk about it in caveman lingo, that Mars is the caveman who sees the sort of pretty cave woman out in the field, or maybe just the woolly mammoth and goes out, rawr, and, you know, slays the beast or drags the woman back to the cave. And the Venus archetype is the archetype of beauty or of harmony. So the Venus archetype would be the cave woman making herself look pretty and, you know, putting that nice mastodon bone up in her hair in order to attract the most virile and most DNA positive caveman to reproduce and pass on the species and all that wonderful stuff. But Mars represents our ability to tap into our energy of outward aggressive, you know, ego, putting our ego outward. And I can say for me that this has been one of my major growth issues in this lifetime. I was the peacemaker in my family growing up and grew up around some extremely angry people who themselves grew up around extremely angry people. You know, I went to a fundamentalist, kind of grew up in a fundamentalist cult that was populated with extremely angry people who had found Jesus and then learned how to project that anger outward onto, you know, Muslims and Catholics and all those other nefarious unbelievers. So one of the soul contracts I made with myself pretty early on is I'm not going to be like you. I'm not going to be like you people. And this new moon in Aries, this whole season of Aries, you know, since the sun moved into Aries at the spring equinox, this energy keeps coming around to me. And I don't expect you to have the same experience as I do, but I want to share a little of my experience with you because I think it'll be a lens for you to a way of looking at how this energy is operating wherever Aries is in your chart. So one of the planets that I have in Aries is my natal moon, and the moon represents our emotional experience of life on a day-to-day level, on the rhythm of, you know, the lunar cycle, the monthly cycle, and moon represents especially early childhood influences. You know, we usually look at the moon in the chart, in the birth chart, as representing the mother, but there's also this. It represents what we soak up unconsciously about life when we're very, very small, when we're young and impressionable in the home and from the people around us, you know, when we are babies and toddlers and young children. And when we're acting out of our moon, you know, that's where we go to nurture ourselves. So interestingly enough, with Aries moon people, you would think that Aries moon people would be nurtured by expressing anger. And often Aries moon people are nurtured themselves, you know, perhaps not always in a healthy way, by making quick decisions to seek something new, to go on adventures, to look for new experiences. Aries moon can be very difficult in relationships because Aries moon people have a tendency to sort of take it up to a point and then, you know, just cut and run. Sort of famous for moving on. But I've noticed in my work with clients and definitely in myself that a lot of times, we repress the anger side of the Aries moon. So Aries moon people can actually project that onto partners. So you're always attracting angry people. You know, to a certain extent, that has been the case for me. I think the bigger problem in my chart, though, has just been that having grown up in and around so much anger, at some point I made a more or less conscious choice, even if I was very young when I did it, and said, I am not going to be that angry person. And by doing that, I cut myself off from the ability to use my ego in a healthy way oftentimes. And so that's definitely been coming up for me at this new moon, is how do I employ my anger? How do I get in touch with my anger so that instead of just running away from it, you know, in which case it's always going to come back to me from, you know, in my surroundings in the form of angry people or often Aries energy that is sublimated ends up being survivor energy. So, and this is not just Aries moon people, Aries sun people. You know, if you have an important planet or point in Aries, look at that part of your life. So if your midheaven is in Aries, you know, midheaven is about career. People who are not expressing or dealing with anger well with Aries on the midheaven would have this tendency to always be in survival mode where career is concerned. You know, Aries sun people would tend to be sort of always putting themselves in survivor situations if they're not dealing well with their anger or assertiveness. So new moons are the end of an old cycle of experience and the beginning of a new cycle. And a lot of times the energy, the 3 days or so before the new moon, can be this time of sort of psychic darkness, of low energy, of sort of exaggerated, depressed emotional states. And what's happening there is that the cycle that started at the previous new moon is coming to a close. And so the light, if you look up in the sky, the light of the moon, you know, the moon is darkest right before the new moon. And there's this energy of, you know, needing to go inside and contemplate and reflect and really kind of sit quietly. There's really a death kind of feeling about the new moon, you know, in the days right prior to it. And what ought to be allowing ourselves to do at this point is to reflect on, you know, so to go back to my example, to reflect on this pattern, this unconscious pattern that comes from childhood of not dealing well with my anger, you know, with anger, and to really sit and reflect, how has that played out in my life? You know, how has that affected me being able to do what I want to do, me being able to have what I want to have, me being able to be the person that I feel I came to this planet to be in this lifetime? And that's not a comfortable place for most of us to go, nor is it encouraged by our society. I remember one of my astrological heroes, Rob Bresny of Free Will Astrology, most of you are probably familiar with Rob, suggesting at some point that, you know, one of his dreams was that someone would buy up the Pizza Hut chain and turn it into a chain called Menstrual Hut. And then for 3 days out of the month, women, you know, from all over would come to the Menstrual Hut together to kind of, you know, share their pain and moan and feel weepy and sad and let go of things. And, you know, I think it's a great idea, but it shouldn't just be restricted to women, because one of the natural rhythms of life is for things to die, things to fall into decay, things to rot. And then it's out of that rot, out of that fertilizer, that the new seed, which is planted, can be nurtured and can grow. And so that's how the new moon ideally works. And one of the things that we can do to help get in touch with the new moon, I can't remember who said this, I think it was Barbara Han Clow, who wrote a great book on Chiron, the wounded healer archetype. And she's written quite a few other books. That's the one that I enjoy the most of hers. But I remember reading somewhere in her writings that she said, if you ever want to understand the energy of a new moon, go out when you have a new moon that happens at night wherever you are. And at the moment of the new moon, go out and just stand for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes in silence and just receive that energy. And I've done that and it works. It's pretty amazing. So I highly recommend that. But, you know, our society isn't set up for this. It isn't set up for us to, on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, when the Aries new moon hits, depending on your time zone, it's about 8:30 in the morning Eastern time in the United States. So, you know, most of us aren't set up. I mean, you're probably going to be on your way to work then. You know, if you live further west, you may be still asleep or getting up for work. And you know, we've got our tight schedules and we've got our deadlines. And, you know, if you live in Europe and you're at work when the new moon hits, you know, you could just go and tell your boss and say, hey, you know, I need to go out and really experience the energy of this new moon. And I've been feeling kind of sad and weepy. Like, you know, I've got Aries on my seventh house, in my seventh house. So I know there's this sort of old way of being in relationships that's ending for me. And, you know, I hope you don't mind if I borrow that conference room upstairs and sort of camp out and let myself feel these feelings. Obviously, you know, most of us haven't set up our lives so that that is something, a place that we feel comfortable going. But it doesn't mean that we can't go there. And you don't have to do this at the exact moment of the new moon, you know. The ritual as far as going out and really understanding what new moons mean, I do support doing that at the exact moment. But you don't have to do that this month if that doesn't work for you. You know, just keep that in mind and allow that to flower. I'm planting a seed, which is a great thing to do at the new moon, and allow that to flower when the time is right. You know, but I have an agreement with the High Priestess archetype in my inner guide work that I agreed to celebrate the new moons and the full moons by coming to visit her in the inner world or by doing some sort of ritual to tune into moon energy. And a lot of times at the moment of the new moon or the full moon, I'm pretty sensitive to that energy. So I tend to be a little bit overwhelmed at times and unable to, at that moment, go into the inner world, relax, and visualize, you know. But I found that I can do it a couple days before or a day after. And, you know, that works too. So we do what we can. The other thing the Aries new moon is about, it's about identity. Aries is about identity. And the question that Aries asks as the beginning sign of the zodiac is, who am I? What am I doing here? And one of the ways that we can work with any sort of new moon, full moon, or major energy event in Aries is look for identity in that part of the chart. And so in a new moon, what we're looking at is an old cycle of identity, an old way of defining myself in this area of my life is coming to an end. And a new way, a seed is being planted for a new way of thinking about myself, a new way of talking about myself, a new way of defining who I am in this part of my life. A lot of times with the new moons, we don't know what that new way is going to be. Often with the new moon, you know, we may have an idea and we may say, this is my intention for what this new me in this part of my life will be. I'm going to ritualize this intention. I'm going to light a candle or whatever. But often we don't know how that's really going to play out. What is easy to get in touch with, you know, if we're just open to it, is what is the part of myself or the way of defining myself that is ending in this area of my life? And that's a very fruitful meditation. You know, as Abraham Hicks, Jerry and Esther Hicks often say, you know, great thing about having experiences that you don't want is that you know that's not where you want to focus your energy anymore because you know that's what you don't want. So real quick, I'd like to look at where this happens for each of the signs. So for Aries sun signs, people born under the sign of Aries, we're talking really about a new way of identifying yourself as a person in the world, as your personality. So look for what is the way of acting in, you know, putting myself out there that's just obviously no longer working for me. And that would be the thing to ritually release and make way for sort of a new iteration or a new version of the self to emerge. For Taurus people, you're looking at a new moon in the 12th house, which can be very weird territory. And it's funny, I'm actually recording this in the laundry room because it's late and I wanted some quiet. Didn't want to disturb my partner. And I looked up and saw on the shelf fuel injector carburetor cleaner as I was laying down the Taurus forecast for this new moon. So, you know, I look at the 12th house as that's sort of our line to the other realms, to the collective unconscious. And look at whatever's coming through now. This can be weird territory, because when you have astrology that gets you in touch with the other realms, with past life karma, you know, with energetic beings from other dimensions, it can be kind of weird stuff. So ideally what you're doing is you're working with a fear identity about connecting to those realms safely. You know, this can also be past life karma or, you know, deep family karmic relationship patterns that are coming up. So look for what you need to let go of in that area. Okay, Gemini, this new moon falls in your 11th house of friends, networks, community, and also your ideals and dreams for the future. So sometimes a new moon in the 11th house means it's time to let go of a friend, an acquaintance, a group of people that you hang out with that aren't really supporting your evolution anymore. And ultimately, that's going to relate to how you identify yourself in regards to what you feel your ideal is in this lifetime, and what is the main goal that drives your life. So it may be time to look and see if you've outgrown some of your old goals. Cancer. Aries new moon falls in your 10th house of career status, public persona. So the same thing would apply here. What part of your career, what way of identifying yourself in your role as a public person, have you outgrown? Is it time for the next paradigm or the next version of you to emerge? And that, you know, and I want to clarify this for all of the signs and houses, in that, you know, sometimes when we have a new moon in a part of our chart, so if we go use Cancer as an example, sometimes we lose our career or we have to quit our job and move on to something that really supports us. So in my hypnobirthing class today, the instructor was talking about how, you know, 11 years ago, she was working for GM and she felt called to go to upstate New York and join this intentional community and learn about all these spirituality things and really expand her spirituality. And all the people around her said, "Oh no, you can't do that. Nobody leaves GM. You know, that's a great job. Why would you do that?" So that would be an example of somebody having a new moon type experience in career where her calling was to something that she felt was a higher purpose or was greater. And so, you know, she let go of the old career. But a lot of times these things will happen as, you know, maybe it's time to let go of a way of thinking about ourselves as solely a career person, which is a trap that we can fall into pretty easily in this society. You know, I am a manager at such and such corp, therefore I work 60 or 70 or 80 hours a week, and I don't really have time for my family. I don't really have time for blah, 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 because this is the, you know, this is how I define myself. And if I define myself as, you know, X, Y, or Z role, then I have to live up to that definition. And so sometimes that new moon energy can be letting go of that rigid way of defining ourselves and having the courage, which is also, you know, an Aries trait, that impulsive, passionate desire that propels us into new experiences to define ourselves in a different way. Leo, the Aries new moon falls in your 9th house. The 9th house is the house of the higher mind, wisdom, intuitive, direct knowing. So my take on this is, you know, there's something that maybe you haven't had the courage to totally own, that you know you're getting these intuitive messages, and you have been for some time. And what you're working on here is really opening up to those and letting go of the blocks or the fears or the old ways of identifying yourself in regards to the mind that have kept you from trusting and acting on your intuitive knowing. Virgo, the new moon happens in your 8th house. The 8th house, like the 12th house, is another weird part of the zodiac. Hard to define, impossible to control. But the 8th house is one of the windows to the soul. And it's the part of the chart that we call the house of other people's money or of shared resources. And so I'm going to suggest that in some way there's a need to let go of the need to control other people's energy or money. And that can be very subtle. And, you know, Virgos can control that through being of service, you know, where you take care of people rather than nurturing yourself. And when you nurture yourself, you nurture the other people. So caretaking can be a way of you exercising that 8th house energy. And it can also be just more blatantly identifying yourself with the need to either control somebody or by the identity that I can't control this person, or I don't have the money, I don't have the resources, you know, and therefore I'm identifying myself as the dependent one. And so it's a tough energy to describe and explain, but look for the places where you're sharing power, sex, or money. And look at what is the pattern that is obviously an old repeating pattern that's not serving you anymore. That's what you want to let go of. Libra, new moon in your 7th house of relationships. Sometimes this can mean you need to let go of a person in your life. On a deeper level, it means letting go of a way of being in relationship in your life. And I really covered this one in this week's horoscope column. So check that out at www.wordsforthepeople.com. Let's see, where does that leave us? Scorpio. Scorpio, Aries, new moon in the 6th house. Defining yourself by the work that you do. Defining yourself by your physical health. Identifying yourself by you working out or lack thereof, by discipline or lack thereof. So what you're looking at, 6th house is, it's sort of the things that we have to do that don't bring us necessarily money or power or glory, things that we sort of have to slog through or suffer through in life. So look at the identity pattern, how you're relating to those everyday sort of tasks, and look for what you need to let go of there to allow a more positive experience to emerge there. Sagittarius, Aries, new moon happens in your 5th house. 5th house is creativity, romantic love, children, pleasure seeking. Probably enough said on that. But, you know, again, you want to look at the both possible polarities of this Aries moon. You know, Sagittarians aren't usually shrinking violets, you know, so you might jump to the conclusion that what you're letting go of is sort of this animalistic pleasure seeking in some area of your life or another. But it could also be a fear of expressing your creativity, which would be that Aries moon polarity, identifying yourself as not creative, and therefore I'm not going to paint, I'm not going to dance, I'm not going to sing, whatever, because I'm not creative. And, you know, what you're really saying to life is, I know you want to flow through me, but I'm going to block that, because that's not who I am. Obviously, that's a negative identity structure. Capricorn, Aries new moon is in your 4th house. 4th house is home, family, emotional roots, what grounds you into the earth experience. And there can be, with Capricorn energy, this real sort of repressing anger because it's not rational or methodical. You know, it doesn't serve to get me to the top of the ladder. If I blow up or if I'm express anger, then people, you know, are not going to take me seriously. They won't want to work for me or whatever. You know, in some way, this is a way of identifying yourself regarding your anger, aggression, assertive energy that comes directly from childhood experience. So that should be pretty easy for you to tune into. Aquarius, Aries is your 3rd house of the lower mind, thoughts and communication. So one of the things that you want to look for is, which of my thought patterns am I identifying myself with and making the mistake of believing that that thought pattern is me? Again, that should be pretty easy for you to tune into. Those thoughts that just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, and you do what they tell you without questioning them, you know, that's a pretty good indication. Could also, and it will also be expressed in your speech. So eavesdrop on yourself this week, and you'll recognize pretty quickly the identity complex that you've outgrown, but you haven't quite updated yet. And Pisces, Aries is your second house of earned income. That's the money that you earn, the possessions that you have, the resources that you have to help you on your journey. Aries energy is sort of operates impulsively in these sort of bursts or flashes of brilliance. You know, think of a flashing sword. Swords are very Aries, are strong Aries symbolism. And for you, this is about your attitude or beliefs about money, how you identify yourself in relation to money, possessions, and to really to having enough. That can also, on an emotional level, represent self-esteem. What you want to look for is the identity complex that is limiting your ability to have what you need. And so, you know, what is the pattern or the belief, the part of you that says, I can't use my assertive, aggressive energy to go out and get what I need because I'm not that kind of person. Okay, well, having done some meaningful work, I feel much less angry and much more on the assertive side. And I hope you found this useful and enjoyable. Until next week, this is DK Brainerd saying thanks for tuning in. Come over to wordsforthepeople.com and check out the free video forecasts and your weekly horoscopes every Monday. Until next time, may you go with the stars.